Planet Fitness has everything you need to get stronger just around the corner, so you can give everything you've got. Whether you want to crush a few reps before class with our expanded strength equipment or sweat it out on your way home from work, with over 2,800 locations, there's a Planet Fitness close to you, and most are open 24 hours. Join the club today and get your first month free. Just $1 down, $15 a month. No commitment. Deal ends Friday, February 13th. You coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.
What's up, everybody? I'm George Massey. This is the George Massey Show. We're going to do some pop culture, the pop culture podcast. Today, we're going to talk about some of the things that are going on in the news right now. It's 2026. I'm here with Gina. We're in a new year, right? There's a new year, and there's new news going on that we're going to talk about. Some sad stuff, some crazy stuff, and everything in between. So, Gina, how are you? How is your 2026 going?
It's going good. I started it off with a bang, as you know. Went to Vegas, went to see Backstreet Boys, and then got back into work mode.
How was that? How was the Backstreet Boys concert? I know you've been to like 800 of them, but like, how did this one compare to the other 799?
It was spectacular. Like the scenery on the screen, because it was at the Sphere, as a lot of your listeners know. They are performing at the Sphere. They have some February dates coming up as well. And just everything was so phenomenal about it. And the graphics, the music, like it just took me back to a not like nostalgia era, to when I was like 16 and like white cargo pants, like blue eyeshadow and silver eyeshadow, bandanas. It was like a vibe. So, and I miss those simpler times.
So what did people wear to the show? Because I saw some videos online of people that went to the Backstreet Boys show at the Sphere, and I noticed a lot of people were wearing all white.
Was the theme.
So the theme was all white. Why was there a theme? Because I noticed everybody in the audience, they were wearing like white shirts, white pants. Everything was white. Why was it all the white theme?
So the theme was Millennium. And if you remember, the album was like a sky blue, and they're all wearing white in their Millennium cover album, like the original one that came out in 1999.
You're asking a lot for me to remember what the album cover looked like. But as you're talking about it, I Googled it and I do know what you're talking about now. But like, I didn't remember that at the time.
So that was like the theme, was that Millennium era, right? So like the white and the blue and the like silver and metallic and whatnot. So it was all about that.
So how much does a ticket run to see them performing at the Sphere? I'm just kind of...
It really depends on when you get your tickets. So when I got my ticket, it was a fan club presale, and I ended up getting my tickets for $165 US. So that's about 230 Canadian. So, but the same section, basically, I was actually, funny story, I was just looking at tickets in the same section, just the row behind me, for two tickets it's like $1,000. So like people are just trying to resell them anywhere between 600 to like 400, 600, $1,000. But they're not the tickets sold on Ticketmaster. They're like people trying to sell them on Ticketmaster, if that makes sense.
I'm not paying $1,000, $1,200 to see anybody. I don't care who you are. Like, and just to give you a little backstory, back when Lady Gaga, she had the Monsters Ball, like when she was still kind of new, I went and saw her at the Monsters Ball two different times, front row. And I want to say I paid about $135 for each show. So I saw her at the beginning of the Monsters Ball. She came out to Cleveland, and I saw her at that show, and I did front row. And I think I paid a hundred and something dollars, less than $200. And then she came back. She like started the tour in Cleveland and ended the tour in Cleveland. I don't know why. I don't know what the situation was, but I saw her twice, exact same show, like months, probably a year apart, actually. And I only paid a hundred and something dollars each time. And then once after that, she got too big for her own self. And you know, to see her front row was just insanity. So I only got to see her front row. Well, I've actually seen her front row 3 times because when she first came out, she did a House of Blues show when she had the what was the Just Dance album? Was that called The Fame? I think it was called The Fame. And when she had that album, she did like a House of Blues tour. And I saw her front row at the House of Blues back when nobody really knew who she was. And then I saw her on the Monsters Ball twice. But I would never pay $1,500, $1,200, $1,000 to see anyone. Like, I just think that that's insanity. And there needs to be like a little more decency out there. Like, people are paying mortgage prices to see artists. And I think the artists really need to stop that because they're already rich. Right. Like I remember Beyonce when she was on tour, people were like, their houses were going into foreclosure. They were using their rent and mortgage money to buy tickets. Like, and the artists are just letting this happen. And actually brings me to another topic that I wanted to talk about because Ariana Grande is working with Ticketmaster to try to resolve scalping issues on her tour. Because I guess her tour that she announced I guess in October she's going on
Yeah.
the Eternal Sunshine tour. It sold out instantaneously, which nobody was surprised by. But the problem was everyone who bought tickets, they bought them and they just tried to resell them at exorbitant prices. So she worked with Ticketmaster to cancel a lot of those tickets, and they're back on sale. And she's gonna try to get them in the hands of true fans and not scalpers. So, what do you think about that? Because a lot of artists just don't care, right? Like, I think Harry Styles was having issues with his tour announcement and his tickets. And a lot of artists, they just kind of look at it as, oh, well, I don't know what to tell you. If you wanna come see me in concert, you have to figure out a way to get a ticket. So, she took it a step further and she had those exorbitant tickets canceled. And now she's gonna do like a little lottery, or Ticketmaster is gonna do like a lottery where you can go and.
Yeah, like that's what they did with Taylor Swift.
Did they?
Well, at least in my region, they had a lottery draw. But it, like, here's the thing, that's still not going to stop people if you have a lottery draw to resell the tickets.
So
They're
I can solve this problem instantaneously. I think
Me too.
the
You
way that.
should just put a cap on it.
Now, listen. I know I have even better version theory to stop it. When you purchase a ticket to a concert, that ticket is non-transferable, and the only person who can attend the show with that ticket is the person who bought it, the name on the credit card. So there will be absolutely no chance that you could ever resell it. So if anybody tries to show up to the show and they don't have that credit card or the ID to match the person who bought the ticket, they wouldn't be admitted. And then we just wouldn't have this issue anymore because they have it to where you can buy the ticket and then you can resell it and transfer it to someone else's name. That's the root of the problem. The root of the problem is giving people the option to buy up as many, well, I don't want to say as many as they want. I think you can buy up to 8 tickets and then they can transfer them and sell them to anybody they want for any price that they want. They need to scratch that. That can't be. You can only.
No, yes, and I agree. That would take more time for to match the name type of thing. When we thought, let's face that. But if you put, I think there are some artists, if I'm not mistaken, have actually put a cap on how much you can resell the ticket for, right? So let's say, like, my ticket was 165, right? Let's say I wanted to sell it for 265, right? Like, let's just say if there's $100, because Ticketmaster takes some fees too when you resell tickets as well. So let's just say $100 bracket from what you originally had paid. I think that's reasonable, right? So here's my original price, what I paid. Let's say you paid $500 originally, right? Cap it at 600, right? So then you pay the stupid Ticketmaster transfer shit, bullshit fees, right? And then you get some money off of it, not a lot, but you know what I mean? Like, there should be a cap. And I think a lot of artists should put caps on how much like people are trying to resell their tickets through Ticketmaster because it's
Yeah.
ridiculous.
There should be caps, or like I said, reselling should just be not allowed. Buy
Because
tickets.
I, when I was looking at the Ticketmaster website for Backstreet Boys again in February, some of the tickets are going for like $1,000
Well, yeah, because
plus.
the Backstreet Boys don't really care because it's just more money in their pocket. And I don't want to sound rude, but like it's just more money in their pocket. Like if you pay a hundred.
Well, it's not like the money that's going in their pocket. It's the money that's going to other people's pockets, right? They made whatever they made from the original ticket price, right? But at the same time, the original ticket price, let's say it was like $400, and then there's someone else who's selling it for like $800 more to make money in their pocket.
See, that's
And
why.
the Backstreet Boys are not getting it. It's the other person that's getting it.
Right. The scalper is now taking money from the artist. And that's why I said I think that reselling should be it shouldn't be allowed. And if you buy the ticket, the only person who can go to the show is you. And I think that that would end this situation because scalpers have made a living out of this. These people don't have jobs. They just go and they buy up a bunch of tickets, hundreds of
Yeah.
the tickets and resell them, and they don't have a job. And I was like, the only way to solve this issue is if they buy 50 tickets, then they're useless. You can't resell them. And
It's all bots.
right. So I think that that would be a good way to solve this issue because so many artists are suffering. And like you said, the scalpers are taking the money straight out of the artist's pocket. And at the end of the day, if anyone should be making money, it's the people who have to go on stage and perform and put on a show every single night for months and months and months. Those are the people who should be making the money, not somebody who just sat at home on their computer and bought 500 tickets. You know, like, why are they making money off of a show that they didn't even work on? They're not even part of the production.
Yeah, so I just Googled it. Typically, Ticketmaster, some reports suggest combined fees can exceed 25% of the ticket's face value when doing the ticket resell.
Yeah.
And in some cases, Ticketmaster may take a percentage from the sale proceeds for services, and in specific instances, the buyer may pay additional fees.
Well, Ticketmaster is a little at fault here too, Gina, because
Yeah.
they're making money off of each time the ticket is sold. So they're making a bunch of money too. So they're part of the problem, right? Ticketmaster is part of the problem. They're creating an environment where this can take place, and then they're supporting the environment by taking money for themselves in the process. So Ticketmaster is getting rich too. So every
Exactly. That's why I said, like, initially, like the artist should have control of, like, no, we're going to cap it at whatever the person pay, charge an extra $100 just to cover those fucking service fees, and maybe get some like something like a little something out of it, but not like $600 or $700 is what I'm saying, right? Because Ticketmaster will take their fees, and then what are you left with, right? Like I was talking to somebody at my work, his daughter got in the lottery draw for Taylor Swift, and she had floor seats, and she sold her tickets for $8,000 each.
Wow.
You know what she did with that money? She put some aside and she went to Bali for a month.
Wow. That's crazy. The fact
Right?
that you can do this and no one is trying to stop it just shows you that the system
It's crazy. It's
and
crazy. And I've heard and I've read some artists will be like, no, like this is the maximum that we're gonna put a cap on it. This is the maximum that we're going to sell the tickets for.
well, it should be that way. And I think that, and you know what's really weird? You know how Ticketmaster has kind of been like the monopoly of concert tickets since as long or like my whole life. How come no other company has been started that can better manage ticket sales that can take over? Like, you know how companies come around and they fail, they go out of business. Like, why is Ticketmaster just the monopoly? It's just they're the only ones that are in charge of managing concert ticket sales. Like, why can't there be a choice? You know how if you want to rent a car, there's Enterprise Rent a Car, there's
Budget, there's Avis.
you can choose, right? Like they're all gonna screw you over in the end, but you can choose who gets to screw you over. Like, why is it that Ticketmaster, there's just a monopoly? No one is there to compete with them. They're just the only one. So they set the rules because there's no competition. And it's just odd to me that in the market of, because concerts are a huge part of the entertainment industry market, like no other company wants to take on Ticketmaster. And it makes me wonder why. Like, why wouldn't another company want their piece of this massive billion-dollar pie that Ticketmaster has been dominating for decades?
I don't know. I don't know. Like, I know there's like other, like for smaller things, like it's not run by Ticketmaster. It's run by like Eventbrite. So there's like smaller mom and pop shop ones, but it's not like big name concerts. Like, for
Yeah,
instance, like
the multi-million-dollar and billion-dollar tourist Ticketmaster is usually in charge of.
exactly. Like, for instance, like Bruno Mars just set a record here and beat Taylor Swift. He's going to be performing here for 5 days, I think, in October. And like people at some of like the younger people at my workplace were going insane trying to buy tickets.
Wow.
Yeah, he's coming here in October, right? Like, and I'm going to stress myself out because like, even though like I like Bruno Mars, but it's not a concert that I would pay to go to, if that makes sense, right? Like, I think he's very well talented, but it's not something that I would pay for.
I mean, Bruno's a good artist. And when he first came out, right, he came to Cleveland back when I lived in the Cleveland area. And he did a show at the Grog Shop. And I don't know, you know, if you're not from the area, you wouldn't know, but it's like this tiny bar, it's probably the size of my living room. And when he got there, he had Just the Way You Are, that was on the radio, and Grenade hadn't. He actually premiered Grenade at the show that I was at. He sang it for the first time live in front of me. And I saw him up front. The place was so small, Gina, that when he was performing on stage, I was front row. He accidentally kicked me because I was leaning on the stage. It was that small. Like, it was like a little tiny bar with like an actual bar that served drinks, and then like a little elevated stage that was probably like 10 inches off the ground. Like, it was just tiny. And the stage was like probably the size of two king size beds. Like, it was very tiny. So I got to see him up close, and literally up close, like to the point where like he apologized during the show because he kicked me because I was leaning on the stage. So like, I don't have to pay $1,000 to see him now because I saw him really, really close. And then after the show, he came outside and like talked to us, and you know, he signed a bunch of posters and we took pictures. Like, he was super cool, but he was super, super new. Like, at the time, like,
yeah,
nobody really knew who he was. I think I paid $37 for my ticket. So now when I hear that he's coming out and, you know, he's going to be selling $900 tickets, I was like, man, I'm just really glad that I saw him when I did, you know, because, and I don't know, when I hear somebody, I usually can tell if they're going to be big or not. So I try to make sure that I catch people right when they first come out. And that's when I go see them, when I need to see them live. I want to do it early. Like when Ava Max first came out, the Sweet But Psycho girl, I was like, I feel like she's going to be kind of big. So she came to the House of Blues. So I went and saw her at the House of Blues, and literally she performed last at the show, and she didn't come out till like almost midnight. So like half of the crowd left before she came out. So when she came out, there was probably like 75 people left. So she literally performed right in front of us. So it was like, I love seeing people before it gets too big. Like, you know how there's those people like you want to get them when no one knows who they are. Like, so here's the thing.
Before their prime.
Well, right. Like when Taylor Swift was just doing little bars, performing at little bars in Nashville, like that's when you needed to see Taylor Swift. Like now it's too big. It's ridiculous. And same with Lady Gaga. I got to see her really early. But yeah, you have to have a good ear for that though, because you don't know who's going to be big and who's not unless you have a good ear for it.
Yeah. Well, the fact, like, I was just looking at, like, for instance, Bruno Mars, the last show he's doing, I think it's here in Vancouver, where I'm from. And yeah, so I think the last leg of his tour in October is here. And he had to put like four dates out here. And tickets are selling for like $1,000, or maybe it's international contest.
I mean, you're probably right. It sounds, well, you have to also keep in mind that this is his first ever solo album. He did a few other collaboration albums in the last 10 years, but this is his first solo album in a decade.
Tickets on the floor for second row are running for almost $2,000.
Yeah, see, no, I paid
And
37.
that's like somebody re like that's a reseller,
Well, yeah, I'm
basically.
sure that his tour is completely sold out and they're all reseller tickets now, but no.
Yeah.
I paid
Yeah, so
$37, Gina, and he was right in front of me. Like, I'm good. Like, I'm so good on that.
the
And
nosebleed section, it's like $281 in a nosebleed section.
yeah, I mean, I would probably still pay that because he's really good. But I'm just glad that I got it out of my system early. And I saw Gaga when it was, I could still get a floor seat. You know, I did it when it was good. Like now, those people, it's impossible. You're gonna, if you even are lucky enough to score a ticket, you're gonna be in the nosebleeds if you even get one. So I'm just glad I got it out of the way.
Yeah, exactly. But
So
we
if,
already have our stance with Ticketmaster, unfortunately.
well, they're idiots. But since it's 2025, or no, 2026, I wanted to ask you a question about 2026. So when people go into a new year, they go into new goals, New Year's resolutions. So is there something that you want to do differently in 2026 versus what you were doing in 2025? Did you set a goal? Are you working towards a goal? Or I'm not really a resolution person, so I was just curious of what you were thinking about that.
I think my goal put me on the spot. I would say
Well, not
probably.
really. Not really. It's like February now, so like you shouldn't be
I know.
thinking about
I
it.
think I need to like have more of a social life
Oh.
and not be a hermit crab because that's who I am now. Considering my ratchet ass before was out like 5 days a week, running the streets, club hopping, bar hopping. But I think I want to be like a little bit more like regardless of like what's going on in my life, I think I need to be a little bit more social with like my friends and stuff like that, rather than being like a
See,
hermit crab at home.
that's so interesting because I think my resolution, if I have one, would be I need to be less social and like focus more on like my personal life and stuff. Because I think maybe I'm a little more involved with like friends and stuff than I should be more involved with my personal life, like my relationship and stuff like that. It's so, like I'm probably the opposite. I need to stop getting on airplanes and going partying and doing stuff and focus more on my actual.
Oh, I will never say no to a plane. No, that's like.
I
That's the
mean,
only aisle I'm looking forward to is walking down in that aisle plane, right? So that's the only aisle I look forward to walking down to. So, but yeah, because like your friends are your extension of your like your family, right? So like they're there when you're down to lift you up, and like if you don't have that support, then who are you gonna fall upon, right? So. And I just want to value them more. They know I do, and they know my life is like chaotic because I work, I go to like take care of my elderly parents, I go to the gym. Like, you know, I'm like running a ruckus. So, and they get that. So, and I couldn't ask for any better friends than what I like my solid friends that I have now that surround themselves and support me at the same time. But I just need to be more social with them because as soon as I'm like home on a Friday, or it's been a long week, and I'm like, oh, I don't really feel like doing anything. I'd rather be home, right? Doing nothing.
well, I don't know. I think that well, so far this year, I've been working a little better with like working out and trying to maintain like my appearance. So I guess if I had a resolution, it's that. I'm like worried about looking snatched than I was last year. Like last year, I worried about it, but not as much as this year. 'Cause now that I have somebody to look snatched for, it's like a little bit more like, ooh, you gotta look good. You know, you gotta look good. So I'm like a little more focused on that, and I'm being
That's good.
a
You should be, right? You had always called me the gym freak and gym fanatic, and whenever we'd do a 90-day pod together, you'd be like, "Oh, I'm waiting for this bitch to come home from the gym." Like, really?
Well, you went to the gym like 7 days a week. It was very excessive. It was excessive. I think
I
that.
still go. I go 4 days a week, Monday to Thursday. I didn't go because I pay every 3 months to the community center that I go to, and I didn't go in November because it didn't make sense to go in November because I was away for a week, so it wouldn't add up. And then in December, the community center is closed for like a week, so again, there was no point to go. So then I started again in January. So
Well, I'm not a gym freak like you. I don't go to the gym. I have equipment at my house. So I have a gym membership, and I don't think I've ever physically been to the gym.
you're just like Chandler and Ross from
Yeah.
Friends that had the gym membership and they were paying for it,
Yeah. I don't even know
and
where
they never go.
I don't even know where the gym is, to be like 100% honest with you. It's not too far from my house, but I don't even know. I've never physically been there other than when I joined. But oh, so I want to talk about this Melania Trump movie. So, do you know the First Lady has a documentary and it offered access to the 20 days leading up to the 2025 presidential inauguration? And, what's really interesting to me about this is Melania is the
I
first.
thought it was Melania, but whatever. Keep going.
I mean, I don't know. She's, I
I
don't
don't
know.
know. We're both not into politics at
I'm
all,
really
so.
not. I'm really not. But she's kind of like the most mysterious first lady. 'Cause, like, remember when Obama was president and Michelle was like really involved and she would be on Oprah? And I remember that she was the one that made it to where the school lunches had to be healthy. Remember she had like the Get Moving,
Yep.
promotion.
She did a lot of incentives.
Right. So, Melania. She's kind of like not really active. Like I never see her on TV or doing interviews or like saying that she's worried about what the kids are eating. I never really see her super like active. And, a lot of times the first ladies, they turn into activists. They stand up for certain causes and they exercise their voices to positive change, whether it's for children or the health industry, the food industry. They always pick something, that they want to work on. And they spend a lot of time on it. So when I saw that she had a documentary, I was like, well, what would they be talking about? Because I don't really see her. Honestly, I don't even know if I've ever heard her talk, Gina. Like, to be 100% honest with you, like, I've never even really heard her speak. I've seen her standing, like, next to the president, but I've never, like, seen her do anything or speak. I'm not 100% positive she can speak. Like, I didn't know. So apparently, she put out this documentary, and I think she thought that she was going to garner some people that were going to be, Melania super fans. Because, like a lot of times, like the first lady can turn into like this morphed obsession for people. Like, what was JFK's wife name? Remember JFK? I can't remember her name now, but she became like a huge deal. What was her name? Hold on, let me see. J.
Yeah, I'm looking it up too.
Jacqueline Kennedy. So,
Oh,
yeah.
Jackie O.
Jackie O. Like, so when sometimes the first lady becomes like this huge celebrity and people become obsessed with her. And I do know that Bill Clinton, he was with Hillary Clinton and she kind of had a big, she was very active during his presidency and she became like this phenomenon. And Jackie O, I think, was probably the most popular first lady we've ever had. Like she, because after her husband was assassinated, she got married to somebody else. But the fascination, it didn't go away. People were still intrigued by her and they followed her up until her death. So I don't know. I think that Melania thought that she was going to become one of those infatuated figures for the country. And I don't know. I think that it didn't work out that way because a lot of these reviews that people wrote that I was looking at, they were not happy with it. And don't get me wrong, Gina, I didn't watch this. I don't know what it's about. I don't know if it was good or bad, but apparently a lot of people are saying, well, first of all, not very many people saw it. That's the first thing that was being reported, that it was a box office bomb or streaming bomb, wherever it was, it didn't do well. And then the reviews for the actual show, they're just horrible, very mean. But I think the approval rating in the country right now for our leadership is pretty low as it is, so she might be catching strays. Like she it's, it might not necessarily be her fault. I think a lot of people might be mad at, her husband or other people in leadership positions, and then she's guilty by association. She might not have actually done anything. I don't remember her doing anything that would make anyone mad. I don't remember her doing anything.
Newsworthy. Yeah, no.
Yeah. I don't remember her doing anything at all.
I
Like
sent you a post from here that said, well, looks like Canada isn't interested in Melania's Trump's movie either. Opening night across Canada, no seat sale. And then at the bottom it says, I love this for her.
to be fair, I didn't know it was coming out. Like, to be fair, I
Neither
never
did
saw
I.
a commercial. I never saw anything until I found out that no one saw it. That was also really weird to me too, because I was like, oh, shouldn't I have at least seen it? I do watch TV. Like, shouldn't I have at least seen a commercial or something or an online ad that was telling me she had something coming out? Because I didn't even know that this was in the works until people were posting online that no one wanted to see it. So,
Well, some of the comments in that post I sent you, it's like, oh, is it a Debbie Does Donald kind of theme? Rather watch paint dry. Yeah. Now he's going to say it was sold out across the country and even parts of Canada guaranteed. I'm like, if we don't watch it, he'll impose another tariff tax.
oh, that's kind of funny, actually.
But
That's
yeah,
actually.
we do still have some kind of sense of humor. Like, she will still win an Oscar, I bet. I'll wait for the DVD from the library.
Oh, wow. Jeez. I mean, at this point, she hasn't really, look, I'm just gonna be real. Like, as a first lady, she hasn't really made a big impact. I don't really see her doing much. Like, I rarely hear about her or see her at all. Like, a lot of times the first ladies are very visible. Like, I see them on TV. They're activists, right? They show up to things, they make it known, their presence is known, and they make it known that they stand for something. And I feel like she's just kind of there. I never hear.
Vanilla.
I'm to be real, I don't think I've ever heard her talk. Like,
She's
ever.
only talked when she's spoken to.
Right. Like, a lot of these first ladies, like, for instance, Hillary Clinton was very outspoken. She spoke when no one was speaking to her. She just wanted to be heard, and she had things that she wanted to stand for. And she had speaking engagements. She was always traveling, and she was always giving her time to doing something. And I feel like Melania is the opposite. Like, I feel like I'm sure she might be doing something. I just don't hear about it. I just assume that she's always out shopping somewhere. 'Cause I was like, well, what is she doing all day? 'Cause I never hear or see her anywhere.
Yeah, some of these comments are hilarious. Someone broke into my car and left two tickets for the Friday premiere. they played it on an airplane and people still walked out. Yeah.
Well,
Is this an OnlyFans movie? Like, yeah.
to be fair, I didn't watch it, but from the comments, I don't think I've missed anything, and honestly, I don't think I'm gonna catch it on streaming or anything. I think I'm gonna skip it. Like I said, I don't really know what new information it would bring me, because it says that it's giving you like the 20-day up close and personal days of before the inauguration, but I don't know. She hasn't really done much since the inauguration, so I can't imagine that anything happened during those 20 days. It is just vital for me to know, right? Like, I don't think that there's something in there that will make my life better if I knew it or not. Just saying.
No. But yeah, those were some of the comments here. We're nice people up here in Canada, but some of our comments are pretty like catchy.
Well, yeah, when something happens, I usually go directly to the post for the comments. I'm just there
Yeah.
for the comments. I want to see what people say, and they usually don't disappoint. That's usually where I'm laughing hysterically when I get to the comments. But speaking of comments and stuff, so there's a Pepsi ad that's running during the Super Bowl. And last year was this huge scandal between the CEO and I think the HR lady, I
The
guess.
VP of HR or whatever,
Yeah,
yeah.
so Andy Byron and Kristen Cabot, the CEO and the HR lady that were caught having an affair at a Coldplay concert. So Pepsi has jumped on the bandwagon of that story, which was huge. And they're using, well, what do you call it when it's not the actual Coca-Cola bear, but it's like, it looks like him? Like, what do you call that? Like a look-alike? Yeah, I guess like
Yeah.
look-alike. So they're
Or a
using
doppelganger or a
doppelganger. Yes.
doppelganger.
They're using the doppelganger, but they're letting him, they're having the doppelganger and his girlfriend drink Pepsi at a concert, and they're gonna get caught, you know, just like the CEO. And it's hilarious, to be honest with you. Like, it's really funny. And I know I don't think it's good that we keep revisiting these two people's the end of their marriages or whatever. Like, it's probably not easy for them, but I mean, they knew what they were doing. They were grown and they were at a concert. You know, like they knew what they were doing, but you know, it can't be easy if they have kids or whatever. If we keep bringing up that these people were cheating and ruined their lives and their families, like that can't be easy. But I guess Pepsi was like, look, we're gonna cash in, we're gonna put this hilarious commercial in on the Super Bowl. And we're gonna, oh, we should talk about the Super Bowl too, Gina, because the big halftime show, with Bad Bunny, is gonna be groundbreaking, right? Because they said he's going to be the first ever artist to perform in a dress.
An
So he
address.
said that he's going to perform
Okay.
in a dress. Did you not hear about this?
No, this is brand new information to
Yeah,
me.
so he's going to perform in a dress and he is bisexual, right? So this is a groundbreaking thing because at a Super Bowl, a football game, we don't typically have any LGBTQ representation. So this is going to be like a huge monumental deal. Everyone's really excited. The LGBTQ community is ecstatic to be represented in this way as such an event that doesn't necessarily always include them, right? The Super Bowl is very, it is what it is. It's not super inclusive, especially to LGBTQ people. So how do you feel about that? Are you excited to see Bad Bunny perform? Like, I'm not a Bad Bunny fan. Like, I'm not going to be like, I don't dislike his music. I've never really listened to much of it. I've heard a few things. So how do you?
See, I would go if Bad Bunny was to come here, I'd go. That's a concert that I would go to. So,
Oh, so you're a fan.
yeah, so I would go see Bad Bunny because at a point in time in my life when Gina was running on the streets and my ratchet ass, I would go to a lot of Hispanic nights where they played a lot of like Daddy Yankee, where they played a lot of like Latino beats and stuff like that, and like reggaeton and bachata and merengue, right? So, like, I would definitely go see him, right? But, like, that's good. Like, I am so happy that he is doing, like, he's going to be re a representation of LGBTQ community, the rainbow plus
Well,
flag.
right. And he was already representing them, but he decided to perform in a dress.
Well, he's already been. It's not his first rodeo being on the like the halftime show.
Wait, he's performed at the halftime show before?
Yeah, with Shakira, Jennifer Lopez, he was on it, J Balvin and Emmy Muniz
Oh, I didn't know that. So this isn't
in
like.
2020. Yeah,
This is,
but
it wasn't
he's
even
like
that long
the
ago.
Yeah, he is like the main headliner right now, right? Like in 2020, it was like Shakira and Jennifer Lopez. Those were the two main ones, right? So I'm like, no, he's performed like at the halftime show. Like I kept remembering, like, no, he's performed at like the halftime show before.
I don't
So,
think a lot of people remember because a lot
oh,
of
I
people.
remember like the Shakira and Jennifer Lopez because I was like, that's hot.
Well, I remember Shakira and Jennifer Lopez. I just remember Bad Bunny, but again, I'm not like a big fan, so I probably wasn't paying close attention. I'm not like a huge Jennifer Lopez fan either. I feel like she's an outstanding actress, but her voice is very mediocre for me. So I'm not like big on her music. Like, but Waiting for Tonight and If You Had My Love are both classics.
1999. It was her year to shine was 1999.
Yeah, If You Had
No,
My Love.
2000. 2000 and 2001, 2002. That was her like That was her era. Like, Ain't It Funny, like,
Yeah,
If
she had a
You
string
Had
of
My
hit.
Love.
If You Had My Love was a classic, and Waiting for Tonight is a huge classic as well. Like, don't get me wrong, she's put out some really good songs, but her voice is, it's not stellar. Her acting skills are stellar. She's one of the best actresses I've ever seen on the screen, and I would never question her talent when it comes to acting, but singing is probably not her best quality. She does it, and I don't know. I think that people probably like her singing because they like her acting. I think that, they're not comparable. I think her acting is stellar. There's not very many people who can do what she does on the screen so well. But
I
the
was right with my first guess when I was saying the year. I just Googled it, and it was 1999 when she came out with that album On the Six.
Yeah, that's when If You Had My Love came out, and I believe she debuted her first ever performance on the Oprah Winfrey Show in 1999. I actually remember watching it, and I remember thinking that her voice was not as strong as I would assume. But when you're such a big star, you can kind of do whatever you want. She already had a built-in audience, so it didn't necessarily mean that she needed to win anyone over. We already knew that she was an amazing actress. So when you're that big, you can kind of just do whatever you want, right? Like, remember Ariana Grande? She went from being like a TV, I think a Nickelodeon star. Was it Nickelodeon or Disney? I don't remember what she did now. She did The Victorious Show and Sam and Cat. I don't know what network that was. It could have been Nickelodeon or it could have been Disney. I don't remember.
She also did Pussycat Dolls, wasn't it? Didn't she, or something like that?
Who did?
Or Ariana Grande? Did
No, she definitely didn't do Pussycat Dolls. She came from Victoria.
Cheetah Girls. She the Cheetah Girls. I was getting confused.
When did she do Cheetah Girls? She was never in Cheetah Girls.
I thought she was.
No, that was like Adrienne Balloon, the girl from The Cosby Show.
Raven Simone.
Yeah, Raven Simone. And then there was like the girl Keeley. Yeah, she was never in the Cheetah Girls. Ariana came straight from, she did Victorious with Victoria Justice. And then after that, she had a spinoff called Sam and Cat with the girl who came from the iCarly show. And after that, she just jumped straight into music. But she already had a built-in audience. Everyone knew her and loved her from her acting. So it was a pretty smooth transition. And don't get me wrong, Ariana Grande has the voice to back it up. It's not like she just was woke up one day and said, "Oh, I'm gonna try singing now." She probably should have did singing first because she's just as good at singing as she is at acting, if not better. So I think it's a little different. I think J-Lo, she thinks she can do both. And based on the success of her career, she has been allowed to do both, but I don't think that her talent is stellar. I think that she sounds good. But to be a world-renowned singer, you gotta sound a little better than good. You gotta be great.
It was Nickelodeon where she got her start,
Yeah, I
because
thought it was Nickelodeon. I thought so.
it was Nickelodeon, because did you know about Ariana? Did you know, we're going to tell Ariana night tonight, it seems like. Did you know that her stepdad or her mom's boyfriend has links to TLC?
No. What do you mean? Does he work for the network?
No, like his daughter or like her stepdad or her mom's boyfriend or whatnot is, the show Plathville?
Yeah, I know. Welcome to Plathville.
Welcome to Plathville. The girl who divorced Ethan, I forgot her name.
I think her
Really
name
pretty
is
girl.
Olivia.
Olivia, yeah. Like, her dad is with Ariana's mom.
What? Are you sure?
Yeah. Uh-huh.
So her dad, the girl from Welcome to Plathville, the one that was dating Ethan, her dad is with Ariana Grande's mother. So she's the stepsister to Ariana Grande. Does Ariana and her have a relationship? Do they talk?
I don't know. Didn't go too much into depth with that, but yeah.
I didn't know that. That's so interesting. Oh, wow. I
Oh
wouldn't
no, not Olivia Plath. Sorry. I was getting confused with not Ethan's girlfriend. Ethan's ex-girlfriend, it's the other, like Micah. He was dating a girl and it's her dad. Sorry.
Oh, so not the girl that was online talking crap about TLC.
Yeah, it's another one of the kids' girlfriend ex-girlfriends.
Oh, so they're not together anymore?
No.
Wow, that's so interesting.
Veronica Peters. Veronica Peters, that's her name. Her dad is with Ariana's mom.
That is wild. That's wild.
Right? Right?
I never would have thought. But yeah, so oh, and I forgot to ask you. So Ariana Grande has her new tour on the Eternal Sunshine tour. Is that a tour that you would go to? Are you an Ariana Grande fan? Would you, if you could get a ticket, would you go?
Here's the thing. She came out when I was like, again, ratchet in the streets. That's going to be my word for tonight, ratchet in the streets. She came out in a time where I wasn't really watching Nickelodeon or anything like that. So, like, her songs, like Thank You Next and stuff like that, are good and stuff like that. They speak to me, but it's not like, I'm not like a. Like an Ariana fan. I didn't grow up with her era, like her genre of music type of thing, if that makes sense.
Yeah, I think her music is good. And my daughter was younger at the time, so it was kind of a part of my life. You know, the TV shows and stuff the kids were watching, so it was a part of my household. So I guess that's probably why I do like her. Like, I don't think I've ever seen her live in concert. If I'm like, I'm trying to think back, and I don't think I've ever seen her live in concert that I can remember. And, you know,
Yeah.
now it's too late. Now it's, you know, if you didn't get it done early, you can't do it now. So I wouldn't do it now. You know, obviously they're having scalping issues and stuff, so I wouldn't even try. But I don't, I think her music is good, and I think her she's extremely talented. And like I said, I think she should have became a singer first. I think that was what she really should have been doing, acting. She was good at it, but I think her true calling is singing. She's amazing. And I think that she's doing what she's supposed to do. Oh, speaking of singers, so for 2026 Grammys, it's always in February. They have announced a huge performing list of people, but the one thing that stood out to me is Justin Bieber is on the list. And you know, he hasn't performed in quite a while, right? He hasn't been on tour in quite a while. He hasn't performed in quite a while. He just recently put out a new album with over 40 songs. And this is going to be his first time being back on stage. And, you know, he's been going through it. You know, like he hasn't been super easy, right? Like he hasn't been, he's not his old self, right? He used to do much better with crowds and dealing with paparazzi and the pressures of being one of the biggest singers in the world. So a lot of people are questioning, like, is this good for him? Is putting him back on the stage something that he's ready for? And a lot of people don't, they don't know, you know, like we don't know him personally. We don't know what his life is like, you know, behind closed doors, but it does seem like he hasn't been doing well with things in his everyday life. Like we've seen him blowing up on paparazzi. Remember there was like that one meme where they're like, you're not clocking it. You're not clocking it. I'm standing on business. He was like yelling at some paparazzi outside of a coffee shop. And we started seeing a lot of videos of him acting that way. And I do want to bring up to you.
Acting irrational.
Well, yeah. And I do want to bring up to you, he's one of yours. He's a Canadian. He's not,
No. You can keep them. You can keep
he's one of
them.
yours,
You
you know.
guys adopted him with open arms. You can keep them.
Well, no, he's definitely yours. We didn't get any papers on him. So I don't know. I worry because I think that since he started at such a young age and he's been performing, and you have to remember this was a child and he had toured the world multiple times. You know, I think that it's finally catching up to him. You know, we know that there's no real positive effects of becoming a child star. We know that when you become a child star, it doesn't really affect your life in a positive way. It usually affects you in a negative way. So a lot of people are saying maybe he shouldn't get back into performing at all. How do you feel about that?
I wasn't a Justin fan, even though I should have been, but I wasn't. My little cousin.
Have you seen him live at all?
No.
Really? That's crazy. I've seen him live.
Really?
That's crazy.
My little cousin, she's in grade 9, I think, now. When he, like, on his last tour when he was here, I think we've had this discussion before. Her mom took her to the concert and she's just like, well, I regretted that, right? Because her daughter must have been like maybe 5 or 6, maybe. She's just like, it was something she really wanted to go to, but I shouldn't have taken her because it wasn't age appropriate, basically, for like her age, basically, is what my cousin had said.
Well, yeah, concerts in general. I don't know if you've ever been to a Sabrina Carpenter concert, but they've gotten so raunchy, and I don't know why the artists have to be over-sexualized, and I've noticed that too. It's definitely not a safe space for kids anymore. It's definitely, and it seems like the artists, especially like I, for instance, Sabrina Carpenter during parts of her show would mimic sex acts. Like it's gotten to the point where I don't know why these artists are behaving this way. It's like they have to have some sort of edge about them. And you have to remember your fans come in all shapes, sizes, and ages, and it seems like they're making it such an inappropriate place for kids nowadays.
Well, lo and behold, it's unfortunately it's the whole sex sells.
I mean,
And
yeah,
it's
that
been like that for years.
But it's worse now, though, Gina. Like the shows, they're getting more risque. They're doing
R
their.
like let's look back at Britney Spears' first video, Hit Me Baby One More Time.
Yeah, I remember that one.
Okay. And obviously, what she was wearing, like it's schoolgirl outfit, like basket playing the basketball and whatnot, and like, yeah. So basically, sex has been selling for years, basically, and that's the society we've lived in. It's just evolved more and more and more.
Yeah, I agree. It's
Like,
sad.
look at like Christina Aguilera, for instance, as well. Like, remember that music video Dirty.
Yeah, I do remember that. That was very risque. Did you notice that women have to be more risque than men? And it's always been very imbalanced. Like, in order to be a celebrity, a big star, a big singer, for women, you have to be very sexualized and slutty and risque. But men.
That's unfortunately, it's a man's world, unfortunately, right? Even though some of the brightest talent is from women, but it's a man's world.
Yeah, I think that it's unfortunate that a man can go out on stage in a fur coat and jeans and fully clothed with a hat on and doesn't have to show anything. And he gets this same recognition, if not more recognition. But a woman has to go on stage in a bra and a thong and high heels, and she has to twerk, even though she's fully capable of singing and dancing and performing and doing everything that probably better than a male performer could do. She also has to twerk. And I was like, well, why is this fair? Why do we have to degrade women? If she can sing, singing should be enough. Right? That should be enough. You should be able to go on stage and showcase your talent, not your body. But for some reason, it's just unfortunate that no matter how talented a woman is, like look at Mariah Carey. Mariah Carey can sing anything. She could sing the phone book, she could sing the alphabet. She just sounds amazing. She writes her own music, she composes her own music. But when she goes out on stage, she has to wear her boobs have to be out, her butt has to be showing. We just can't respect women for some reason for their talent. And I can't understand why we haven't gotten past that. Because there's a lot of really talented women who should be able to come out fully clothed and perform, right? Like there's no reason why they shouldn't have to be in a swimsuit when they're not swimming. Like it's gotten to the point where we need to just stop sexualizing it and just let people showcase their talent.
Exactly. Exactly. I feel you on that.
It's just really imbalanced. But oh, so I want to talk about, we've been talking about a lot of music today, but I want to talk about this huge announcement from Ray J. Ray J went on his Instagram and he announced that he was going through some medical issues, and we found out that we knew he had pneumonia last year, and we knew he was in the hospital, and we knew that he wasn't doing well, but he revealed that his heart is only working at 25%, which is super scary, right? It means that 25%, and he may need a defibrillator, which I don't know what that is, but I'm sure that it's whatever it is, it's pretty serious. And he said that he doesn't know if he's gonna live, past the year 2026, which is it's a crazy statement to say. But a lot of people say with your heart only working at 25%, the harder your heart works, the more likely it's to give out. The heart is a organ that pumps from the day you're born to the day you die. It's always working and pumping. So with it only working at that small percentage, it's very possible that it could give out. Do you think that this is true? Because there's some naysayers online that are saying, oh, he's just saying that he wants attention. But I don't know. Saying something like that, I don't think that's something that people would just take as a joke and say, oh, well, I'm gonna say this and hopefully people believe it and people are gonna feel bad for me. I don't know. I think that that might be true. I'm
So, a defibrillator is a life-saving device that delivers electric shocks to the heart to restore normal rhythm during sudden cardiac arrest. So, you know those like machines or whatnot that you see at like, let's say concerts or like hospitals to give you like, I've had to use one like when I took my first aid training. It's kind of like that. Like you put the stickies on, like boom, right? It's an electric shock wave.
Oh yeah, where they say clear and then they shock. Yeah, that's oh, wow. So yeah, that's pretty serious. And I don't know, this came as a shock to me because he's been in the news a lot. He's been in the news a lot. He's always around and I never would have guessed that he was having these type of medical issues. And reading up on it, it said that a lot of these issues came from substance abuse and alcohol abuse, which weakens your heart. So when you drink heavy alcohol or you're heavy on substances, those things can weaken your heart. And he's only, I think he's only 42 years old, if I'm not mistaken. So he's definitely too young to be going through these type of medical issues. But
He's 45.
oh, he's 45, a little bit older. His sister Brandy is a huge celebrity. They just recently honored her at an award show and her music catalog. And what would have been a really happy moment for the family, now it's being overshadowed by his medical announcement, his diagnosis. So we're sending prayers, to him because hopefully the defibrillator could help him. And we would hate to see him only have 1 year left to live. That's just such a scary thing. You know what's crazy, Gina? I have a psychic friend that I talk to about things like that. And I asked her, I said, if you knew that someone had like a certain amount of time to live, would you tell them? And her answer was really interesting to me. She said that I wouldn't tell them because when you tell people, that they have a certain amount of time to live, they don't enjoy the time that they have left. They start going into constant worrying and regret, and they don't utilize the time in a positive way. So when doctors tell people that they have a certain amount of time to live, I feel like it might be counterproductive. And I know, to tell someone that they're dying is not, it's devastating. It's not something that anyone wants to hear, but it also makes you constantly worry. And I think that state of worry could actually make the time you have less, right?
But sometimes like the doctors are wrong with their with their theories. And I know medically like everything is evolving, but it for instance, back in the 80s, my aunt had ovarian cancer and they gave her less than a year to live and she passed away like 2 years ago. So yeah.
Well, I know the heart when they
The
the
heart is different, right? Obviously, right? But I just hope that like he's seeing the right doctors, and let's be honest, they come from money, right? They have an empire, they have money, he gets the best health that he can, type of thing like that. I know it's just like with the healthcare system in the United States, usually. If you have money, you're set. But if you don't, you're kind of at the bottom of the list. Sorry. You're SOL, unfortunately.
Yeah, because at the end of the day, because I was thinking, like, well, if your heart gives out, you could always get a heart transplant, right? If your specific heart isn't working, you could get a transplant. And like you said, with them being public figures and, multiple public figures in their family, well-known people, lots of money, lots of accomplishments under their belt, that might be enough to get your name moved up the list a little bit. Like, money talks, fame talks, credibility talks, recognition talks. So, a heart transplant is not the same as like you getting like a bone marrow transplant or a kidney transplant. A heart transplant means that your donor is no longer living.
Exactly.
Because I was like, if it was like a kidney, he could just find someone who's a match and go through that process. But when you get a heart transplant, you have to wait for someone to pass away, which complicates the process because you can't just find someone who's a match and then they give you that organ because without their organ, they're not going to live. So it makes this process a little bit more complex.
Exactly. But as you mentioned, they have mem family members in the music industry, like he does, like his sister Brandy. Snoop Dogg is also related to them as well. So, yeah.
I'm hoping that things work out. We know he has small children and, we are hoping things work out for him. So speaking of that, oh wow, this is like a grim, the show is taking a grim turn because the next couple,
It's taking a turn for the worse.
yeah, the next couple of stories are pretty grim because we found out that Snoop Dogg's daughter passed away,
Not
unfortunately.
his daughter, his granddaughter.
Granddaughter, oh my God, I'm so sorry. His granddaughter, his 10-month-old granddaughter, Cody. Who I believe was born premature.
She was, because I was just like, well, what happened? They're not going into too much detail, which I respect the privacy of the family from the TMZ article that I read, but it just said in it just says Saturday afternoon, sharing a black and white photo is where she's grimming and lovingly holding Cody in her arms. She writes, "Cody, the love of my life, passed away Monday," adding an angel wing emoji to the post. Cody was born 3 months premature, revealed in February of last year. Cody spent most of the next 10 months in the neonatal intensive care unit, or NICU. However, 3 weeks ago, shared a photo of her relaxing in bed together, telling followers God heard all their prayers. Cody's father, Wayne Dews, also shared a heartfelt tribute to his daughter, writing on social media that he will always be with her. Rest in peace. So that's pretty sad. I don't
It's
wish that upon
extremely sad.
anybody.
And upon looking into it, I was like, I think this isn't the only time that he had a grandchild pass away. And I looked into it, and there's a People article that says that Snoop Dogg's son, his 10-month-old child passed away. The child's name was Kai Love, and it passed away in 2019. So this is
He says, what's with the 10-month mark?
Well, one was 10 days old when he passed away. And the
Oh.
child, Kai Love, died 10 days after birth. And Cordae, his son, was the father. And now this is his daughter's child. So this is like a, this isn't the first time this happened to the family. I can't even imagine what they're going through. So this has happened twice. And it happened in 2019. His son lost a 10-day-old baby. And now his daughter lost a 10-month-old baby. I can't even imagine what that's like.
Right?
And losing anyone is hard, but especially a baby, because you already feel like they're helpless and you have to do everything you can to help them. And I can't imagine what that feels like to know that knowing you did everything you couldn't save your baby. I can't imagine what that's like.
I can't either. And I wouldn't even, and I'm not a fan of Justin Bieber, but I wouldn't even wish that upon his child. I wouldn't wish that upon any child.
No, it's horrible. So yeah, when I heard that story, I was like, huh, it's weird because I feel like I've heard this story.
It sounds familiar, right?
Right.
Like the same, yeah.
It was confusing because I was like, I've heard this story with Snoop Dogg's name before. And then I looked into it and I was like, oh my gosh, this happened in 2019 with his son. So This is not a new situation to the family, but I guarantee you it's a difficult situation for the family. So sending thoughts, prayers, and love to the family and hope that they are doing well. And unfortunately, next story is just as grim. So I don't know if you watch the show Schitt's Creek. It's one of my favorite shows in the entire world, Gina. I don't know. If you haven't watched it, it's fine. You can totally still watch it. It tracks. But I watched Schitt's Creek. I've actually rewatched it multiple times. It's just really, really good. And one of the actors on the show, she goes and does the character Moira Rose. And it's probably the funniest, one of the funniest characters in the world, other than maybe Miss Doubtfire. Catherine O'Hara, who is this legendary actress, she did Home Alone, she did Beetlejuice, she did.
That was filmed that Schitt's Creek was filmed here in Toronto or in Ontario in Canada.
Yes, it actually was. Yeah, they did. And I think a couple other places are still available to visit. There are people who still do the tour, which is on my list. So I might be going up there to see the hotel. And there's a couple of other places. I think the apothecary is there as well that you can visit. But I like to do my location tours. I did the
I
Stranger
know.
Things location tour. I like to do my location tours, but we had a shocking story that happened. Catherine O'Hara, most people, she's an automatic figure. You're going to know exactly who she is when you see her because she was Kevin's mom in Home Alone. She was Kate McAllister, but she did so many other monumental things like Beetlejuice movies. And then Schitt's Creek took over the world. It's like a phenomenon. There's like literally Reddit groups that are just about that show. She had a medical emergency at 5 a.m. and then passed away later that day, which shocked everyone, right? Because nobody knew that she was sick or if she was sick or what's going on. And the family has been really tight-lipped about what took place. And I know TMZ released a phone call with 911 and the dispatchers and the ER ambulance that was sent, and they said that the person was having trouble breathing. And that's literally all we got. But it's just, she was really young, Gina. She was only 71. And I did some research. You know me, I have to research everything. So, the mom and dad from Home Alone, they've both passed away now. And I looked it up, and he died, I think, in 2017 or 18. He passed away at the age of 71. So,
That's creepy.
isn't it creepy? So, yeah. Catherine O'Hara passed away at the age of 71, and the dad from Home Alone, and they weren't married in real life, but I thought it was just really creepy and strange that they both passed away at the same age, and they played a husband and wife in Home Alone, which, I look for strange things. I'm always into the strange connections to things, and I just looked into it because I was like, well, wait, is the dad still alive? I go down rabbit holes, so I was like, well, let me look into this, and then I saw that, and it was just really shocking, though, for me. I opened my computer and it popped up on the screen, and it kind of freaked me out because the last time I was in Atlanta, I was watching Schitt's Creek. Like, I was watching TV. And it was just a rerun episode. And I remember it was the A Little Bit Alexis episode. And I was watching it. And so it caught me off guard because I was literally just watching the show. And don't get me wrong, the show ended in the 2019, but I was watching it. I had it on reruns and I was watching it. So this literally was like a week ago. So when I saw that she passed away, it kind of hit me hard. I was like, what? I can't believe that, And of all people in the world, you just never know when people are going to leave the world. You just never know, and you're never ready, right? And I don't know her. We've never met, but it still affected me,
Yeah, so like I got the notification on my watch, right? Like the Apple News when it happened on my watch. So then I'm like, oh shit, are you kidding me right now? And then yeah. And so it was like because she is Canadian, right? She is from Ontario. So yeah, we have a lot of Canadians that have a lot of potential, whether it be in singing, acting. Yeah, a lot of, we're not called North, like Hollywood North for a reason.
Well, yeah, Canada has a lot of talent and a lot of people that have come from small parts of Canada and just turned into a phenomenon, right? Like it's crazy how we'll hear the person was from some unknown part of Canada and now they're a household name. We hear that happen a lot.
Exactly. Like there was, unfortunately, he was in Home Alone as well, but John Candy was also a Canadian as well.
Oh, right. Was I think he was in Home Alone Lost in New York, right? I'm pretty sure he was in Lost in New York.
No, he was in the home, like the first one. He played the guy who takes Kate to back to the home, part of that band. Or whatever, the polka band.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure that was
That
Lost.
was the first one.
Oh, that
That was
was
the
the first
first.
one. I don't know why I thought that was Lost in New York. Yeah, you're right. That was the first
I
one.
have no idea. So there's a lot of talent up here. What's his face? I told you in Djibouti, like from Stranger Things is also Canadian as well. He actually went to my high school that I went to as well. So yeah, there's a lot of talent up here. So it just goes unnoticed sometimes.
Well, I think a lot of times when celebrities are from Canada, it's pretty well known. Like, I'm pretty sure a lot of people are aware that Justin Bieber is Canadian and Drake is Canadian. Celine Dion is Canadian. I don't think I was aware that Catherine O'Hara was a Canadian native. I didn't know that until after. But, it's kind of interesting how so many people have come from that country. Right? Like a lot of times we don't realize that these big name people came from some little tiny place in Canada somewhere that
So
people don't
tiny
know.
little place. Love it how you refer Canada as a tiny little place.
It's tiny compared to the, in the grand scheme of things, there's a lot less people there. There's a lot less usable space there. Like most of the parts of Canada are like, what do you call it when it's like covered in snow and it's unusable? I don't know what you call that. You know how in America we just have woods? We don't have a lot of, there's like woods everywhere that we don't use. In Canada, there's just like a lot of frozen over lakes and mountains and just unused space. So I think that when I think of,
That's why a lot of places will come here to film.
well, yeah, because you don't have a lot of space that you can use where there's not a lot of people or a city to disrupt. There's just all this open space, which I think is really cool. Not a lot. I mean, we have a little bit of open space here in the US, but nowhere near as much as Canada does.
But it just depends on what scenery you're looking for and what part of Canada, right? Like you were in Seattle, you probably saw some of our Canadian mountains from Seattle, but it's kind of like the same vibe, basically. So we have mountains and ocean, and yeah, so that's, and we have a lot of like forests and like land, as you mentioned, right? So really good hot spots for filming.
Yeah, you're right. There's a lot of space that you can use. And the best part about it is when people film in Canada, you can't really tell where it is. You can pretend you're anywhere in the world.
Exactly. There's a lot of stupid Hallmark movies that are filmed here too, so
And people think
because
that they're in middle America, and it's actually filmed right in the middle of Canada, which is kind of cool. But yeah, unfortunately, we lost Catherine O'Hara, which is so shocking. And I don't know if you've watched Schitt's Creek, but if you haven't, you really do need to watch it. It's like an amazing show. Like,
I'll have to stream it. I don't know where I would watch it, but I would have to stream,
I
see
think
where
it's
I would
on
watch it.
Netflix, but no, it's on Hulu.
On Hulu,
Yeah.
I'll see where it's filmed, because like not filmed, I'll see where I can stream it, because some streaming shows, like it's different from like on Netflix. It's different. Like they have different movies or different shows compared to like Canada and the US, in Europe even. So yeah. So I'll see where I can watch it.
It's so good. It's so good. And I didn't watch it from the beginning. I think by the time someone told me to watch it, the show was already a couple of seasons in, maybe two.
Ended. I know my brother did the same thing for me with that show called Superstore or Cloud. Yeah,
Watch that. I'll
Superstore.
watch that. Yeah. That one was
So
really good too. That one was really good. I think that was also filmed in somewhere in Canada.
No, it wasn't.
Well, I think the store that they use is a Canadian store. It had something.
The name Superstore is a Canadian like store here, grocery
Yeah,
store
I knew there
here.
was some tie.
Connection,
Yeah,
yeah.
Canada. But yeah,
But
it was good. But yeah, Schitt's Creek is amazing. And rest in peace to the amazing Catherine O'Hara. She's
talented.
left her mark on the world, and she did such iconic roles, and she'll never be forgotten. And I think we talked about this on the Christmas special. Home Alone is just one of those movies that you just watch every year, and it never gets old, and it's just part of the season. So she'll always be a part of the Christmas season for me. And when I think of Christmas, I think of that movie, I think of her. So.
Exactly. So I think on my Netflix here, they only have seasons 4 to 6.
Oh, well, that's no good. You
And
gotta.
you know me, I have to watch a show from like the first episode, the very first episode, the first season one. But I found it on another app that I can watch it on, which is a Canadian app.
Yeah,
So.
I would suggest watching it from the beginning. Like, I would suggest that because.
Oh, he's Canadian too. The other guy, one of the other guys on here is Canadian as well. Hold on. I'll give you his name. You've seen him in other stuff too, but I think he played, what's it called, Dad on an American Pie. Just give me a second.
Oh, Eugene Levy.
Yeah, Eugene Levy, I think he's Canadian as well.
Well, his son, Dan Levy, is also on Schitt's Creek. Yeah.
Yeah, Eugene Levy is Canadian. Yeah, that's what I thought.
Yeah, it says he's from some weird tiny place called Hamilton, Canada. So yeah, he.
Hamilton, Ontario, and it's not a tiny place. Why do you always presume that Canada has like three people?
Well, I've never heard of Hamilton, Canada. I've never heard of it.
Hamilton, Ontario. It's quite a big city. There's an airport there.
Oh, well, I mean, every city has an airport, Gina. Every city has an airport. I mean, I've never heard of it, so I assume that it's some small, tiny little one horse.
No, it's not like a one horse buggy and carriage. The population's about 569,000 people in 2021.
Oh yeah, that's really small. That's tiny. Yeah, I think Los Angeles has like millions of people. So 500,000 people is kind of small. In the grand scheme of things, I think, okay, so Los Angeles has 4 million people that live there. So a town of 500,000 is a little tiny. A little bit, a little bit.
In comparison to LA, yeah, just a tad.
Well, yeah, you know, a big city. LA is a big city, and Hamilton is a little tiny town, right?
Yeah, but yeah, I'm gonna have to watch it, but I'm already watching so many other shows on the go right now. You know
Well,
me.
the best part about this is the show, it's out there, it's streamable, it's not new. No one's gonna ruin it for you. No one's really talking about it anymore, so you can get to it at your leisure. Because I think it ended in 2019. So you don't really have to worry about somebody ruining the show for you because everyone has been there, done that. So, but whenever
Yeah.
you get time.
I'm just old to the game, that's all.
Well, I didn't start the show when it started. The funny story is I was driving for Uber. Oh my gosh, this is probably 2019, 2016, 17. I was driving for Uber. And I drove someone and we were talking, and they were like, hey, there's this TV show that you need to watch. And, you know, they were just making conversation. But he was really persistent about it. He was like, there's this TV show you need to watch. He was like, give me a piece of paper. I'm going to write it down. I'm going to write down where you can watch it. And he like wrote it down. And, you know, people would always tell me things when I was driving my Uber, like, go, oh, you should do this, you should do this. I didn't necessarily remember or do it. For some reason, it stuck with me. And when I got in the house, I brought the piece of paper in the house with me that he gave me that's had the name Schitt's Creek on it and what channel it came on and everything. And for some reason, I watched it and I was like intrigued. Like, I watched the first couple of episodes, like one back to back. And I was super intrigued and I was like, wow, I never thought that a stranger could tell me to do something that I would enjoy. So I was really pleasantly surprised.
Yeah, maybe I'll wait after I'm done with Love Island All Stars and Love Island Beyond the Villa. Then I'll jump into that because that's going to consume a lot of my time, and plus all the 90 Day Fiancé bullshit shows. So that it's very time consuming. Sometimes I have to play catch up on everything.
Yeah, it's time consuming, but when you love a show, it just flows. It just flows.
Yeah.
So I gotta watch Love After Lockup. I haven't watched the new season, so that's what I'm gonna be doing soon. But that's it. That's all of our topics. So we covered everything that's going on now, and unfortunately, a lot of it was very dark. There's some dark things going on in the world right now. We're losing people, and there's a lot of scary things going on in the world. Unfortunately, that's the world we live in now. So we got to make sure that we're checking in on people and being positive and helping people and being supportive, because it matters now that we're looking.
Being and staying positive should be everyone's New Year's resolution,
Yeah.
basically.
It matters that we're positive and looking out for each other now more than ever. It's hard to find something positive going on in the world, so we have to be that positive thing for everyone.
Exactly.
All right, guys. Thank you to Gina for joining us for this episode of the Pop Culture Podcast. Thank you for listening, and we'll be back with another episode. Hopefully the topics will be a little less dark. Like, hopefully
Yeah.
some great news, or oh, we'll be talking about the Super Bowl, obviously, after that comes on and we see the halftime show, and Gina can discuss that with us because she's a Bad Bunny fan, so she can discuss that. But hopefully they'll
That's the only thing that I watched. Like I understand football and the whole concept, but well, it's like torture for me to watch football. I've tried many times to watch it and I end up like falling asleep. So I get football. I understand football, the concept of football, but the reason why I'm turning into football is the only time I'll watch it once a year is for the halftime show and the commercials. But it's funny, I don't know if you know this, the Canadian like broadcasters here do not show the American commercials.
Oh, I didn't know that. So do you have
Yeah.
all its own commercials, or like how does that work?
We have our own commercials.
Oh, I didn't know that. I mean, I guess that makes sense, because if it's an American-only brand, there's no reason to show it to the Canadian community.
Well, Pepsi is not an American-only brand. It's an international brand, right? Same with Coca-Cola. They
There are
just.
some brands that are American-only that have commercials, so maybe that's why they separate it. Like, I don't know.
I don't know.
I don't know how it works. I don't.
I'm usually on YouTube the next day finding the American commercials because
Well,
they're epic.
they usually put them on early. Like, if you're crafty, you can find the commercials before the Super Bowl. I've done it before. If
Well,
you're
look at the Pepsi Cola one. That's already like not playing yet, but
we've all been.
we
Yeah.
already seen it. So
All
there
right.
we are.
Well, this was fun. Thank you for listening. Thank you for Gina for joining us, and we'll be back soon. This is the George Massey Show, the Pop Culture Podcast, and we'll talk to you guys really soon.
Good night.
Good night.